Broadcasting from InnieUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Ante Up. It's January 2nd, 2009, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet. Happy New Year, Scott.
Happy New Year to you.
You had a nice little present to kick off your year.
Christmas was very nice to me this year.
Man, I tell you.
Christmas Eve, I head out over to the Silks card room, Tampa Bay Downs.
Awesome.
And, you know, twice a year they do this amazing promotion. It's 599 clams every half hour to the high hand in the room.
Cool.
All right, they do it twice a year. I missed out on the first time. I'm like, you know, hey, it's Christmas Eve. I got a couple hours before the wife gets home. I'm going to go shop for a gift for her there.
Yeah, you got her a nice little present there, man.
But, so Chris, I got a straight flush.
And straight flush to the queen,
yes,
from what I remember.
All the way to the queen.
Good God.
So it held up, and of course, the I got the straight flush like 2 minutes into the half hour, so I had to sweat it for the entire 28. I mean...
But really, you're going to get beat by what, a royal or a king high straight
there
flush?
There was a diamond royal there while I was there. I was only there 4 hours,
wow.
And so there was a diamond royal before me at some point.
Holy
so,
cow.
You know, I was telling people at the table that I would be sweating a lot more if it was quads or something like that. So
yeah.
I felt fairly confident, but still, that's the longest 28 minutes of your life, you know, when you're already counting spending that $599.
Yeah, let me guess. It's already gone, right? That money's got to be gone.
It is in the safekeeping at Regions.
Oh, good.
The remainder of it. I was fairly generous.
Yeah, I'm sure you were.
I was. I gave two green birds to the dealer.
Wow.
And I gave a red bird to everybody at the table.
Wow.
And then I get home and I gave my wife her standard 10% wife tax.
Wow.
To which she responded, you know, honey, you're out on your own. You've created your own business. I think we can do without the wife tax.
Wow. She waived the wife tax because you and I went on our own.
Exactly. And I said, no, baby.
No, baby.
You're going to take that $60 and you're going to buy yourself something nice.
So you gave her 10% on the overall amount as if you were the government.
Exactly.
Rather than what after the tipping and everything else. So that was really nice of you. You were really generous.
Well, you know, it's Christmas. It's the season of giving, right?
Yeah, no bah humbug from you. Well, congratulations. I think that's wonderful that you won that. And of course, now I get half of what's left because I'm your partner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
What, $250 or whatever.
As soon as you take half of my losses,
no,
then we'll start.
No,
there.
I don't want to get another mortgage on my house.
Because that's one of the most interesting things of this story is that this is the first time a wife tax came up in a long time. But okay, so you know it's fun bragging about my my big score there. But and by the way, I got two $10 food vouchers too.
Ooh, so you're taking me to lunch after this?
No.
What the hell? Why don't I get anything out of this?
Well, you know, you were sitting at home.
All I got to do is hear your freaking stories over and over again. I don't even get a freaking burger out of it. God.
You wouldn't waste on a burger there. I got better food there than burger.
No, that's true.
But, all right, so, you know, bragging aside, I thought there's some interesting things we can talk about in terms of this promotion.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I was playing Omaha 8.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And one, I got runner to get mine too, which makes it all the more sick. There's a couple things to talk about. One, I'm wondering, I sat there and I'm like, this is great. They let Omaha 8 be part of this promotion.
Yeah.
So I'm competing with all these people playing No Limit Hold'em and Stud.
Yeah.
And I was there for 4 hours and three high hand winners while I was there were at my table.
Wow. Yeah. See, that makes sense that it's the best game to play. I mean, clearly. You're getting twice as many cards and six times as many options or whatever. And
yeah, but, you know, and I thought, I'm like, this is great. But then I started thinking, I wonder if it really is the best game for this promotion. Because here's the thing. It's probably better than Omaha High.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Omaha High, you'd really have to stretch to play some of these weird hands.
Well, not only that, but it's a lot easier to make a steel wheel. You know, because you're going to have ace, deuce, suited, ace, three.
Well, exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
You can play those cards in high, but it doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, right.
But in low, it gives you an extra reason to be a little more reckless.
Right.
But the game is a little slower, obviously. I mean, there's a lot of split pots and a lot of people in and stuff. So I'm wondering, because they had a crazy pineapple game going also there that night.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that might have been a better option.
I don't think so.
All right.
And you know, the other thing, too, is when you look at all these websites who have high hands, they always set the Omaha at a set rate. Even this Tampa Bay Downs does it.
Exactly.
And then the other ones are progressive jackpots because it's clearly harder to hit And so it does shock me that they allow Omaha 8 to be part of the $5.99 special. When, you know, it's because they're in a giving mood, and I think that's fantastic. Those types of hands, when you're dealing that many hands in a room, too, it's going to be hit. And it's going to be hit probably Omaha.
So. And I'll tell you how easy it was. During my half hour of interminable hell waiting, I got quad threes, which would have been good enough for another one at some point. I mean, jeez. One of the other guys at my table won with aces full, which is sick.
They should let you carry it over.
Yeah.
Hey, I made quad threes. Let me use it next half hour. Next hour.
But here's the other point of discussion is that should you alter your play style during a promotion of this point? Actually, a better question is, at what level does the promotion get so crazy that you have to alter your play style to benefit from it?
Do you expect me to answer that now?
Of course, off the top of your head.
I would need to go home and crunch the numbers and you know, get out the abacus. I don't think there's any way for me to answer that intelligently, not just because my brain isn't intelligent enough to answer it. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question.
Well, here's the thing. This was a because of the crazy laws here in Florida. This was a $2, $4 Omaha high-low limit game. All right, so not big bucks, obviously, but so certainly $599. That's a score for a month in that game.
Oh, sure.
So you know, when I sat down, it was literally the tightest hands were eight players to the flop. I mean, seriously, people were just throwing it with anything, hoping to win a high hand. So when I sat down, I didn't have my eyes on a high hand at all. I was there just to play some cards. I was happy I was actually able to play Omaha for a chance, for a change.
Yeah.
And actually, the guy next to me kept laughing. He's like, man, you're tight as a tick. Because I would even fold my small blind when it only cost me a buck. Because I just didn't have cards. I mean, I figured I would make more money by feasting on these folks.
Yeah.
That were being crazy during this promotion than I would trying to go for the high hand.
I think that especially at that limit 2-4, you know, where you're only putting in 1-2, I would tend to alter my playing a little bit if I knew that there was a chance for me to win that big of a, you know, I mean, $600 isn't that much money really in the grand scheme of things
per half hour.
Per half hour, then I would definitely play more hands than not. Just because of that. I mean, you'd have to have hands that could make a high hand, too, though. I'm not going to play.
So, I mean, here's what happened is I was tight as a tick, and I admitted that to the guy to begin with, because I was just trying to fleece off these folks.
Yeah.
But as soon as I hit the high hand, now I'm fat and happy, right?
Yeah, so then you were like, caviar for everyone!
So I played, after that point, I played any hand that could turn into quads or better.
Yeah.
So any pair, which is a terrible way of playing Omaha high-low.
Any suited connectors.
And any suited connectors.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not a good way to play Omaha, but, you know, now that you're rich and you know you're going to have a profit for the day, why not, you know? But to start out that way, it's probably not a good idea unless you're in, like, the blinds or you're getting the odds to call. Like you said, if it's 8 to a flop every time and you got, like, a suited ace with connectors and stuff, maybe I would give a shot. But it's not a good way to play Omaha 8.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, is you have to factor in that there are people playing that way, probably.
Yeah.
Not that you're doing a lot of bluffing in a $2, $4 Omaha 8 game, but you certainly can't get away with it on a day like that.
Yeah, no. And you know, if you're going to make, in that case, too, if you're going to make a solid hand, you're probably going to be the winner because they're just playing crap, hoping to hit miracle jackpot hands. So there's a lot to be said for playing tight, too, then, you know, because you know whatever you make, it's going to be good. I don't usually play Omaha, so I don't have to worry about it, you know. I just play Hold'em when I go there, and if they had a stud eight game going, I'd play it.
All right, one more funny story before we move on. Early on, I flopped at ace high flush.
Yeah.
It got raised and re-raised with a pair on the board paired on the turn. Mm. I got out.
Yeah.
Turns out the guy at the other end of the table flopped the straight flush.
Oh.
This was in diamonds, so I saved money based on that, and he won a high hand. Did not share his money.
Jerk.
But when I hit mine, he rivered the ace high flush of diamonds.
Oh, justice.
Exactly. Wasn't that awesome?
Nothing sweeter than poker justice. Hey, so you said just one more funny story, but I want as many funny stories as I want.
Wow, another funny story.
Well, it's funny that you say that you won $599 because that's exactly how much I lost when I went to the Melting Pot on the same night.
Now, you didn't lose
I didn't lose it.
But you got a quality dining experience out of it.
You know what, Scott?
And you got to cook your own food. How many restaurants let you do that?
And they gave me my own salmonella because I didn't cook half the food long enough. I got to tell you, Melting Pot is the worst. You know what? I don't care if they ever thought about sponsoring the show. Yeah, we're not going to let them.
This feature is sponsored by Melting Pot.
Yeah, no, don't do it. Don't go. Don't get sucked in. The prices. You know what, Scott? It's the most expensive meal I ever paid for, and I cooked the meal.
Yeah?
I can't believe you've done this more than once.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I do it once a year. It's the wife's place for birthday.
Never go again.
Yeah.
Never. Well,
but see, you got out a lot cheaper than we did because you didn't buy the 2 bottles of wine. Because that's where they really get you, because you're there for like 9 hours.
I know, and I had no idea it was going to be there. Got there at 6. I didn't leave till almost 10. I was like, oh my God, I could have seen freaking Benjamin Button twice. Which, by the way, do not see that movie, Any Up Nation.
You had a rough week.
I had a rough week with entertainment. I deserve a vacation for my entertainment. It was terrible.
Well, you know, I'd love to send you to Vegas and let you have some extra entertainment by going to see Real Deal.
Oh.
But I guess that's not going to work out.
No,
right?
Apparently that show either has already been canceled by the time our show airs or will be canceled very soon. And if you don't know what The Real Deal is, anybody who's got a card player or a Bluff magazine has seen the ad. You didn't see it in Ante Up because they don't advertise as Real Deal. But you'll see all the famous poker players sitting around having a party with showgirls and throwing cards in the air, and everybody's there from Esfandiari and Locke to the Brunsons to Ngannou and Harmon and Elie Lezra. They're all there having a great time, and it's at the Venetian, and come on down and watch us play poker. Well, I don't know if I want to fork over $75 to go watch maybe two or three of these pros play poker on stage, and then maybe I'll be invited up there to play against them and win a prize or whatever. You know, I can't see how this would have succeeded. But my wife said, it sounds like it'd be a fun thing. It sounds like it'd be great. And I hear that it's a good time when you go. I just don't think, if I'm going to spend $75 watching people play poker, I'm going to go buy in the Venetian and play myself with $100 or something, you know? So what do you think? Do you think it was a good idea, or was it just a failure from the start?
Well, I was intrigued by it, but you know, now that it's canceled, you had to go back and think about it a little bit. And I think I was intrigued by it because I'm a poker player. And, you know, again, it's kind of like the fantasy camp kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Though you're not really...
really meeting all these people.
You know, you had to get lucky enough to get on the stage, but...
And it's not all these pros at once. They're just the roster of pros that
exactly.
they choose from, and usually
exactly.
just get two of them a night.
But I think what really happened is you know, poker, as much as we like to think it's this great, very popular game, and it is, it's just, in Vegas, it's a small section of the economy there, and, you know, you can go watch for the same amount, and you can watch, you know, people bend backwards and do flips and, you know... fall down out of the sky, and you can see people getting eaten by a lot of tigers, and, you know.
Well, not for $75, but still, it's a good portion of the ticket, at least.
So, you know, I think it's a much smaller potential field of clients, or of folks that would show up for this show that
I agree.
For a general interest kind of
I agree. I think
like that.
I think you combine the economy with, you know, Vegas dollars. When you think about how much, you know, what are you going to spend your Vegas money on? I'm going to spend $75 on that. I mean, I would rather go to Emeralds and have a meal or something than sit there and watch people play poker. And I mean, I know there's some other entertaining aspects of it, and if you can afford it, by all means, go. But I just think that it was asking too much of an audience to spend that kind of money to watch a poker game.
But I wouldn't go to Emeralds because they actually cook the food for you there. It's nowhere near as fun as some other restaurants.
Oh, man, and our waitress had such an attitude. My brother wanted to just smack her. You know, he went with the whole family, and he was mad. We were going for my sister-in-law and my nephew's birthdays because they're both right after Christmas, and it was just we had a good time as a family and stuff, and we had a lot of fun making fun of everybody. But you know, I mean, it was just terrible. Not to go back in the show or anything here. I'm not trying to go back to the original topic we're talking about, but don't do it.
But, you know, but we always feel bad when any kind of creative
absolutely.
Poker kind of thing fails.
Because, yeah, absolutely.
You know, we need more stuff like that out there. But, you know, it's got to be something that people want. And it's the economy. It's tough. It really is.
Yeah, they should have made the show free and then, you know, figured out a different way to make money on it or something. You know, or just more reasonable.
Yeah, true. I guess they could have done twofers and things like that. But.
So can you tell me a little bit about this South Carolina judge story? Because I saw it in a Google alert, and I was busy forking over cash for Benjamin Button at the time, And so I didn't actually read the story, so I'm hoping you could tell me about it, and then I'll, because it's pretty high up in our hierarchy today of the banter, so I'm hoping that you have some funny things to say about
it. Well, here's the thing is that a real deal probably would have worked had people realized that poker was a game of skill.
Ah, there you go.
But people just don't realize that, Chris.
No, and
I don't know why. It's frustrating.
I don't know why.
It is a game of skill, right?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, an attorney in South Carolina has won the right to make that argument in a court case there.
Awesome.
Municipal Judge J. Lawrence Duffy Jr. We should start going by like S. Allen Long III or something like that.
Hey, your middle name is Allen?
It is.
Wow. But I'm not third, all
though,
these years.
So I'd have to be making that up.
But. All these years. I never knew.
So this municipal judge, again, J. Lawrence Duffy Jr., has allowed in this case that's going to trial sometime in January this month, both the prosecution and the defense can present any kind of evidence that they can, so the judge can decide whether Texas Hold'em should be considered a game of chance as defined by the state's definition of gambling.
So it's just Hold'em, it's not poker in general?
Well, that's what the story says. Hmm. I don't know.
It's all poker.
It's a card player story here. And so apparently what the issue is there were, looks like, five buddies who got busted in a poker raid.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Yeah, and in April 2006, so it's been a couple years now, and 60 players were nabbed in this, and one lawyer is representing, obviously, five. The other players all settled. Pleading guilty and paying fines of less than $300. But these guys are fighting the fight.
Good. If they were smart, they would bring in Annie Duke as a witness.
Ah, there you go.
Annie Duke made a very compelling argument. I think her brother Howard, too, at that time. Remember they had the was it the Harvard? You know, they had
yes,
conference,
right.
Or whatever.
Right.
And it was the way she put it was really, you know, succinct. And she's had a lot of experience, even for the PPA and stuff, explaining the why it's for skill. So they should bring her in, bring in an expert and bring her in. She'll do really well there.
So apparently, it is only Texas Hold'em that he's working on here.
Oh, hey, well, it's a start.
Yep. So apparently it's a 200-year-old law in South Carolina that simply outlaws games used with cards and dice.
Ooh.
And the attorney here, Jeff Phillips, says that's too outdated for modern times.
Hey, while they're there, why don't they overturn the Wire Act? Because that's outdated too, isn't it?
And he says the men aren't fighting the charges because of the fines, because obviously you're not going to be hiring a lawyer to save yourself $300 if you're nabbed at a poker raid and thing.
Right.
But they say they hope their efforts will indeed change the law in South Carolina to allow Texas Hold'em to be legally played there.
That's awesome.
You know, and that would be, in general, I mean, obviously it's nice to have one more case law where somebody, a judge says that poker is, in fact, a game of skill, but it's been a while since I've been to South Carolina, but I've been talking to some folks here in Florida that do business in South Carolina, and they can't even do poker leagues up there like we have down here in Florida.
Right.
That's how strict it is up there, so that would certainly open up to a whole new market of different things there if this judge rules in favor.
Well, the ramifications of it would be fantastic. I mean, it would just, I would think that it would just trickle down to the PPA's efforts to, you know, the UIGEA stuff. I mean, it's just a huge, it would be a huge victory for us, I think, if we got one state to realize and change their law that poker is actually a game of skill. I'm rooting for them big time.
Yeah, and I wish it was poker that they were arguing at Texas Hold'em. It's the same problem we have here in Florida. You know, the law allows no limit Texas Hold'em here, so you can't play pot limit Omaha or anything like that, which is really kind of ridiculous.
It is kind of ridiculous.
But, you know, we'll take what we can get.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just another step. You know, it's a slow process, but it's going to happen, I think. I think eventually it's going to have to happen because you have to progress. You can't stay, you know, 200 years ago. My God. Didn't even have cars back then.
And, you know, if you can't win something, you should take it, too, right?
Absolutely.
And here's the thing. You know, our longtime listener, Alan Stewart, thanks for the tip on this, sent us an eBay listing, Chris.
Oh, this is so cool.
Where you can buy your very own World Series of Poker 2008 Circuit Event Ring.
And apparently the first bid is from an S.A. Long for $599.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like you're looking to buy that ring for $599.
Secret's out now. I only knew your poker star's name.
So who is the ring from, you think?
It is a it's a mystery here. Apparently, according to this listing, and is that it is, in fact, there's some kind of certificate of the authenticity that will be provided to you after you buy it.
After you buy it,
That will also reveal the.
So you'll have to let us know when you get it.
Yeah, exactly. I will, absolutely. But it's being sold from Paramus, New Jersey. Now, that doesn't mean anything. It could be, a person who was brokering this sale.
And
I feel bad, but the ring's being sold, according to the listing, due to, not because of, as it should be. Hate bad grammar. So I'm just going to say because of a child support issue, not due to a child support issue.
Right, because of.
Because of a child support issue. So apparently, I guess you can go back in 2008 and look at all the people that won circuit event rings.
Right.
Be a pretty small number, right?
A small number, like six or whatever.
And then I guess if you really wanted to dig, if we were journalists, we could figure out who's having a child support problem right now, and then we could blow the lid off this baby.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I was going to say it was Ferguson, but... obviously, he doesn't have child support issues and wouldn't need to sell the ring. But he's got so many of the circuit rings, I figured maybe he'd
say,
"Yeah." But when you say it's child support, then obviously I don't think it's him. So
yeah, so obviously somebody a little bit down on their luck in this bad economy. So I always hate when people have to sell their hard earned stuff, whether it's like a World Series ring or a trophy of some sort or something like that.
But and it really upsets me because back in the day when I was one of those decent bowlers, I had a bunch of rings stolen from my house. My state championship rings, my county championship rings, my 300 rings and stuff. So I know what it feels like to have it taken from you.
Yeah, and I've only bought a couple of those. So
so I would hate to have to sell it. If it gets stolen from you, it's out of your hands, but to have to make the conscious choice to say, okay, I'm not going to hang on to this memory that makes me unique or reminds me of better times, and just get rid of it. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. Well, we'll see whether it actually goes. When I logged on earlier this week, there had not been a bid yet.
Which is why you put your bid in
exactly.
for
$5.99. Yes, exactly.
You'll get it for a steal.
But the buy it now price is $10,000.
For a ring?
And but there is a reserve, and the guy will take offers. But here's the thing. Shipping is free, Chris.
That's a direct opposite of a lot of these ticket places, where it's like, okay, the face value of the ticket is $49.99, but the shipping fee is $300. Wow, free shipping. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
So anyhow, I don't know who would really want to buy a ring, but I guess we'll find out. And I do feel bad for the person in this situation, but, hope it all works out for everyone.
Well, I brought up the fact that I liked having, accomplishments happen in my life that I could look back on and say, oh, this is fantastic. I was a part of this. But I forgot to move money over, and I wasn't a part of the Poker Stars world record that was set last week.
And you were, you really missed out.
Because I could have set two records.
You would have been part of two records, Chris.
Two records. I want to see that listing in the Guinness Book of World Records. I want to see all 250,000 people listed.
Ah, yes, that'd be nice. Do you think they actually still do does the book have all the records in it still?
I think
it's all migrated online,
probably migrated some of it online, but the good stuff, like the big fat twins who ride the motorcycles.
Right. Or the tall guy, who leans on the little street tiny post. Guy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that stuff. I always love that photo because it looks like he's holding an Oscar.
Yes, that's right.
He's holding the little guy, but it looks like he's holding he won an award.
Well, I wonder if this one's going to show up at the Guinness Records Museum in Vegas.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if they have one. They should, though.
They should start one just for this, because this is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, all right, so the two records they set, we told you about it on our show a couple times, a couple weeks ago, that it was the largest poker tournament ever, 35,000 players in this $10 plus one buy-in, no limit hold'em tournament. But then, without trying, they had the most players logged in at once, more than 250,500.
So now, I don't know if
quarter
you know
of a million people were online.
But they were online, but were they all playing?
Logged in, it says. I guess people
they could have been watching.
In. Yeah, exactly.
Who won so I wonder who won the largest tournament in the history of mankind.
Apparently, it was Stan 34 POWA.
Wow, that must have been awesome. Can you imagine winning that tournament?
Yeah, but he got $30,000 out of this, and 8,750 players took home a piece of the pie, according to this story.
For $11, the guy won $30,000.
Yeah, that's nice.
Wow, that is just insane. That's got to be another record. Smallest buy-in, biggest payday. That's huge. Let me ask you a question, Scott.
Sure.
Have you ever been at a poker table and someone spoke a language other than English?
No.
No. You sounded like you were saying it in another language. No.
Yes, actually, I have.
And what happened?
It depends on the room. I've been in rooms where people were not admonished at all, and I felt uncomfortable enough that I got up and left.
Wow.
I just don't want to be cheated.
See, it happened to me once. I was with Worm, and we were at the Mayfair Club, and these Russians were speaking Russian. Worm got all pissed off, threw the deck of cards at him and everything. I was like, Lance, calm down. But apparently this is happening now in Canada.
Yeah, this is a story that we got from the CBC. An English-only rule at the card tables in Saskatchewan's government-owned casinos sends a bad signal to visitors, the province's Francophone Association says.
Yeah, because they speak French. Canada is full of French people.
All right, and here's the best part of this, is that the name of the second casino, it's Casino Regina or Regina, probably. But the other one is Casino Moose Jaw.
Yeah, I know. Well, they have a minor league hockey team there, too. We always, when I was in the sports department years ago, we used to always love when some of the towns up there are just awesome. Moose Jaw, Medicine Hat.
Yes, that's right, Medicine Hat. Yeah,
so there's some pretty cool towns and names up there for their teams. And Moose Jaw Casino.
All right, well, I don't want to create a riot here at Moose Jaw, but I am willing to send some nice swag out to the first Annie Up listener that sends me a dollar chip from Casino Moose Jaw. That would be awesome for my collection.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
Probably not going to make it to Saskatchewan anytime soon. But anyhow, so apparently, obviously there's French speakers in Canada.
Sure, of course.
Probably a lot more in Quebec than in Saskatchewan. But,
right.
If that's the language you have, and now you're getting into trouble.
What's up, eh? I mean, really? I mean, how? You know, what if that's your native tongue and you're comfortable in it and you're there with your friends or whatever? And, I don't know. Would they say that, in Miami, there are more people who speak Spanish now than English? So they're not, I guess they're not doing that down there, right?
That's the weird thing. As part of the argument here, and there's a quote from the Saskatchewan Gaming Authority spokesman, Angela Gordon, who says that it's widely accepted in the gaming world to have a designated language. And she goes on to say, by designated, we mean all players at the table clearly understand the language. And we have these rules in place to protect the integrity of the game and the safety of our players and our staff. So, but here's the thing. I mean, obviously, I guess the official language would be the one that's spoken most widely in the area that the casino is at. But you're right. I mean, you go down to Miami, and I imagine at some of those rooms, like Flagler when we were there, that we would have been in the minority in native English speakers.
Yep.
And
I'm sure they're speaking Spanish.
Yeah, and some players there may not understand English at all, and they're at a disadvantage. Now, obviously, it's America, so you can do that whole argument that I don't want to get into. But in Canada, it says it's officially a bilingual country. So.
Yeah, there you go. So how can you do that? And the other thing too is that it would be so easy if someone started speaking French, then if someone said, okay, look, I don't understand French, and you guys got to speak English because I know you speak both languages. That'd be one thing, have the dealers sort of patrol it. But, to just make that overall rule like that's tough on a country that's officially bilingual.
Yeah, it says in Quebec, dealers there are expected to be bilingual, so both languages are accepted, which makes sense. And it says in Manitoba, at least one casino allows for a French-only blackjack table on weekends. So that would be interesting. Maybe you have one poker table that, you have to speak French, or you don't have to speak French, but you can't speak English yet. Separate but equal. That always works out well.
Well, I do know one thing. I do know that I hear and you know what? It's pretty desolate today here at the radio station.
It's empty here.
So when we hear the phone ringing, we know it's for us. So it's the Donkey Gear hotline. Let's first of all say the number, 813-448-1120. If you call us on that number and we use it, we will send you something really pretty from donkeygear.net.
And Chris, I forgot this last week, but I need to say this week. The hotline was full.
It was full.
And so sadly, some people were trying to get through and couldn't, but it's all cleared out now, so if you tried to call before, operators are standing by to take your donkeygear.net calls.
See, that we're just so popular, that they're just banging on the door to call us.
Hey, guys, this is AZ Slick from Mesa, Arizona, and I had the bright idea that maybe Annie Up magazine could be a conduit from the players to the PPA when they're considering lobbying for online poker being regulated and everything, and you guys could be a gathering. We could send all of our suggestions for online poker to you, and you could pass them on to the PPA. And the first one is doing away with random card generator. that would be a good thing for you guys to do.
Well, I know you're going somewhere with this, Scott, because it seemed to me that you were very excited about this clip. So I know.
Well, excited might not be the right word, but here's the thing. You know, I love that AZ Slick has sent us a gazillion suggestions over the years, so we appreciate that, and every one of them we consider. But here's the thing. The PPA, I'm not sure really, correct me if I'm wrong, please. I'm not sure whether they really get into the whole random card generator, that kind of issues. They're really more focused on just protecting our right to play poker and expand our abilities to play it. And there's probably some other groups out there that were probably better suited to be taking these issues like the random card generator.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is I wonder if the PPA gets what it's striving for, which is to have online poker in America regulated. Will the PPA go away, or will at that point, will the PPA then progress into something like this, where then they would take considerations of, okay, now let's go to these online rooms now and say, look, these are certain things that we hear a lot of complaints about or whatever, and I wonder if maybe someday it would be something like that where we would, as a publication, gather all of our readers' thoughts and then present them to them once this kind of thing is settled. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the PPA is strictly there for getting poker regulated, online poker regulated in America, taxed and everything, and accepted, and not part of these, you know, midnight bogus rules and stuff. So I think once they get past that point, then maybe something like this might be broached. But at this point, I really doubt they would even have a second look at what we offered them if we went through with saying, hey, we don't like the random card generators.
True. But, you know, here's something I'm going to say, because, you know, Blas, our good friend, has been busting my chops for being soft on the show. So I'm taking a stand here.
Okay.
All right? I'm taking a stand. Going out there.
You literally are, too, because you're standing.
Exactly. I'm standing right now.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, if we ever allow ourselves to, as a poker community, to descend into an argument over whether online rooms should use random number generators or any of this other crazy stuff that folks want it to use, I think we're going to be loonies.
We're going to be loonies.
People are going to look at us and say, oh my God, we just spent all this effort to get poker legalized and regulated, and these are the freaks that folks are fighting over a random card generator. All right, see you there. I put myself out.
Okay, there you go.
No ambiguity in my stance on the random card generator.
All right. Now, Blasman's going to be totally dedicated to the show again. He's going to tell all of his clients about the show. He's going to pass it to all the family members. He's going to sign up for everyone has subscriptions. He's going to love the show again because you took your stance. Excellent.
Slick, we appreciate the call and all the help as always. And be sure to check out the donkeygear.net where they offer poker weird geared towards those who like to be the donkey or those trying to call out the donkey. It's more than just funny t-shirts, Chris.
It is.
There are hats, poker chips, tables, dealer buttons, cards, books, and other accessories. Check it all out at www.donkeygear.net. And Slick, we're going to send you out a shirt if you send us your address. This week's shirt says, a bad day playing poker is better than a good day at work.
And he deserves that shirt for using the word conduit.
Well, yes.
I love that word.
Yeah, I had to do dictionary.com to make sure I spelled it right on our notes.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery, the case of the snapping turtle. It's the middle stages of a big field, no-limit hold'em multi-table tournament. The blinds are 250-500 with a 50 ante, and we have a stack size of 11K on the button, just a little bit above average. It folds around to us on the button, and I look down at 10 spades, 10 of hearts.
I don't think you can pass this opportunity by.
Now, I was going to raise here no matter what cards I had, but after looking at the 10-10, I decide to stick with a 3x big blind as opposed to a 2.5x big blind, and I pop it up to 1,500. The small blind calls the 1,250 more. And the small blind is the big stack at the table with over 28K in chips. The big blind wisely folds. Now we see a flop heads up with a pot of 3,500 of 8 of spades, 8 of diamonds, 7 of spades. The small blind checks. I'm going to C-bet here a majority of the time anyways, but here is a particularly good board for it.
Better to stick with what you know. The familiar.
I bet 2,500 into 3,500 pot, and the small blind just check-raised me all in.
Wow, that is an impressive club, sir.
What do you make of this, and what do you do?
All right, have you changed your mind since last week about what?
No, I have not. I once I make up my mind, I do not allow it to change. Oh, wait a minute, that's you.
No.
I do change my mind quite a bit, but I'm not changing my mind this time.
Because you're a woman.
I'm chickening out.
So we said we were folding, right? I think we both said we were folding. Is that what we said?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to fold too, but I think we might still be ahead.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm not saying we may not be ahead. I'm just saying it's not worth the risk.
Okay, it's not worth the risk. Let's see what happens.
Welcome back. I know it's not correct to make a rash decision, but I called this relatively quickly. Small blind or not, what hand that can beat me other than ace-8 defending calls my raise out of position instead of re-raising?
The pieces don't quite fit together yet.
Sure, I have run into a player flopping a boat in the small blind, but if you flopped an 8 here, would you try to chase me out of the pot? No, his bet is meant to get 2 overcards to fold, a hand like ace-x. And since I have a made hand here, I call, half expecting to see maybe a pair of 7s. But more likely an ace. The small blind turns over, ace of clubs, 3 of clubs, and after a queen on the turn and a 9 on the river, I double up. A lot of times in these middle ranges, big stacks get too aggressive and are willing to try and push people off of pots with nothing more than a big card. Sometimes you can see that in advance, but other times you just have to know when is a good board to stick around on. Until next time, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com wishing you happy holidays.
So that's what snapping turtle was. He snapped called,
snaps it off.
Snap called the all in, and he was right. Ace rag basically, and I like his point saying that sometimes there are boards and with made hands that you just have to play, and he deduced correctly that this guy was had a decent good starting hand when you're heads up like that, but didn't hit, and he was right. If the guy actually had a piece of this board with the 8, he would probably or if he had flopped a boat or something, he would have not bet all in. So
yeah, and I fully admit that this is why you will not see me at the final table of a major event. I'm not capable of making plays like this. And he's right; you need to be capable of making plays like this.
All right, another good mystery solved. Become a well-rounded rounder. Register today for the Ante Up Horse Course coming to Sarasota Kennel Club on Saturday, January 31st. For just $249, get winning strategies for Raz, Omaha 8, Stud, and Stud 8, plus an $85 tournament voucher, lunch, a gift bag, and much, much more. Register today at anteupmagazine.com, and we'll teach you how to win in Sarasota.
The new and improved Ante Up store is now open, just in time for all those holiday wish lists. With markups just 10% above Cafe Press's base prices, stock up today on Ante Up shirts, hats, gifts, and more, and all of Ante Up's logos. Go to anteupmagazine.com, click on Shop tab, and order today. Send us a photo of you wearing the Ante Up colors, and you just might find yourself in Ante Up magazine.
God, you know what? I'm so glad you remembered this. I feel like we need to have, horns or trumpets going off to announce the fact that today is the Conky Awards.
Exactly. Once a year, only once a year, do we hand out the most respected awards in all of poker.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
the Ante Up Conkies.
The Conkies. I totally forgot about them. I mean, we've been so wrapped up with the magazine and everything else. Because it's me, I never vent.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I never say what's on my mind.
Well, you're at a disadvantage because you don't drink Coors Lights. You can't vent as often as other people.
That's so sad.
Yes, today's main topic brought to you by the good folks at Miller Coors.
Yeah. Nice. Well,
Hopefully soon.
I think the Blasman, pretty much sparked the, I could be pissed off at some people. So, by the way, the Conkies, I forgot all about them. So now we can take a stand today and make Blasman really happy.
Exactly. Now, for our new listeners, the Conkies are a tradition that go back probably, it's probably our third one now, right?
I think it's our third one, yeah.
And it's named after our ape series.
Yeah, like King Kong, apes.
And I got a sweet Sweet Ape for this year's Apes Player of the Year trophy, which I finished building over the weekend. So Nick Zuckerboid.
It's got a picture of him throwing feces, right?
No, that would be even better.
But he's got like a moving arm like those old action G.I. Joe dolls with the kung fu grip.
Yes.
He can throw like feces at you. And
see, now he's going to be so disappointed when he actually sees what I found. But,
no.
But I was excited that I actually found an ape to put on the trophy this year.
That is cool.
But anyhow, yeah, and then keys for donkeys. So yeah, push it all together. Conkeys!
Conkeys! All right, I'm going to start because, you know, I'm too excited. I can't contain myself.
Exactly.
Anymore.
I'm not going to try to hold you back.
Okay. My first conky is, I have no spine, so I must be a jellyfish conky. And it goes to George W. Bush and his administration. This is because they pushed through the UIGEA, not unlike the way they pushed the bill through in the midnight hour a couple of years ago.
Exactly, the little midnight drop thing they did this year, and so apparently it's going to take effect here in a couple weeks, you know, unless it's thrown out by the new administration, which we're hoping it is.
We're hoping it is. But they deserve the award because they have no backbone to stand up and fight against someone who could say no to what they want to do. They just have to do stuff in the cloak and dagger kind of midnight hour stuff. So that to me is deserving of a conky.
That's true. I mean, you gotta, if you believe in something, you should be able to believe in it. You shouldn't have to
That's right.
Resort to trickery.
That's right.
Trickery, I tell you.
Absolutely. And you know what? If we invite Bush and the administration to come on the show and argue against what we have to say about it.
Exactly. So, he's got nothing else to do.
Yeah. You know,
just
so
we're hanging out at that new house in Dallas.
We're giving them the opportunity. So, you know, it's not like we're not open to them. They want to call in. Call the hotline. We'll give them a Donkey Gear hotline shirt, too.
What if we got Dick Cheney in the show?
That would be
an exciting show.
That'd be great. I would not want an orange shirt. For that show.
I will tell him that weapons of mass destruction are being hidden in PokerStars software.
Or in the decks of cards.
Yeah, that's right.
Four aces is four weapons of mass destruction. All right, your turn.
All right, Chris, here's my first one. It's the Billy V. Conky for ballsiest gamble in poker marketing. And it goes to World Series of Poker Commissioner Jeffrey Pollock. All right, so love it or hate it, Chris, and it has to be one or the other.
That's true.
Admit it, you were talking about the delayed main event final table this year a lot. And that alone makes this controversial decision a success, I say. Regardless of whether you thought it worked or not, everybody who is a poker player was talking about this at some point during the year, and probably talking about it a lot.
Yeah.
And talk about free marketing, and that really is the best thing a marketer can do is get free publicity out of it.
I agree. I think it was a success from that standpoint, and you know, it's funny, the card player came for the 2008 in review yesterday, and they talked about how all the players, especially the pros, were complaining about the TV coverage.
Uh-huh.
They thought it was nothing short of a miracle that they turned it around that fast. But, like, the heads up, and the final table was, like, 17 hours.
Yeah,
and the heads up was, like, 4 hours, and they showed two hands.
Two hands.
So they were complaining about that, but really, the actual idea, the delayed final table, really was a success. And hats off to Jeffrey Pollock, you know, that's what I like most about this guy, is that he comes in with ideas, he comes in with things that's going to stir it up and keep it fresh, and whether it was a success or not, monetarily or publicly, he got a lot out of it for very little effort, really.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Okay, my next one. Sun shines on a dog's ass once in a while, conky, goes to Mike Faso. Mike Faso, better known as Lance or the Bard or Pesto, goes all the way to win a banana this year. And we knew if someone played ABC poker long enough in Apes, they would win a banana. So
yeah.
Congratulations, Mike, for being not creative at all in winning your banana.
Oh, man. Now, you know, Mike is headed out to L.A. pretty soon, and I'm sure he's going to come back with a great story. So he's already offered to come in and share those on the show.
Cool.
And I will be sure to present him with his award at that point and let him throw a card at you.
Well, you know, I made fun of him because I couldn't make fun of you because I knew that you're going to probably make fun of me somewhere along the line here. So
that's true. I kid because I love.
Yeah, I know.
You kid because you're mean.
Okay, your turn.
All right, the G's do you rob from your own grandmother too? Conky for most outlandish dishonor to the sport of poker goes to those dastardly cheaters at Ultimate Bet. Hey, Chris, is there anything that could have made this a more horrible story?
Yes.
Yes, actually there is. It's a disgrace on top of disgrace, conky, for irresponsible journalism to the crew at 60 Minutes, for whipping all of our friends and family who know very little about online poker into a frenzy that we're all losing all of our money online.
Just so everybody knows, too, I would like to just give myself a little plug here. And in our February issue, in my TV column, my Poker Vision column, I'm actually going to address 60 Minutes a little bit more in there and just get to the heart of what I thought was just dastardly by these people. And I totally agree with you, man. It's like just when you didn't think it could get worse, it did.
You know, and I'm famous on the show for saying that the online poker is like the Wild Wild West. But and I also always try to qualify by saying that doesn't excuse people from taking advantage of it.
Right.
And that's what really gives me the red ass with this thing, is that these folks just set out wantonly cheating from people. And they knew that they weren't going to get caught.
You know what, Scott? I think that sometime next year during Apes, you're going to see, like, a new avatar name, Scott's Red Ass. You know, like, there's Burns My Toes now? There's going to be Scott's Red Ass is going
to
be one of those.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to clear to the online censors, but we'll see.
It'll be a $$$ or something. That's hilarious.
But just in case I haven't shown sufficient rage, it is. It's just, it's sick to me that people would cheat in this manner. I mean, I guess that's all part of poker. I mean, people have been cheating in poker since they've on riverboats in Mississippi,
absolutely.
But...
Yeah.
It doesn't make it any, it doesn't make it right or unexpected.
And
but
if it ends up being Russ Hamilton, which, you know, all signs point to yes.
According to 60 Minutes.
Yeah, I mean, but if it is him, I mean, come on, you're the world champion. You own the friggin' site. Why would you, oh my God.
Well, again, because they knew they could, I mean, none of them, I guarantee this without even talking to them, none of them thought that.
They get caught.
There's just no way they'd get caught, because it's the only way they could get caught is to have the actual string of events that happen.
Yeah.
And it's just an amazing to imagine. I mean, I'm sure they're sitting at home going, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me.
How did we get caught?
And then real quickly, you know, we had some news. You know, obviously we talked about the latest squabble at Ultimate Bet last week, and apparently Phil Hellmuth has been talking about it a little bit,
yeah.
And he's not really helping their cause.
No, he was saying something that, you know, it's happened to him like 50 or 60 times where he's gotten
something
losing
like that, he said.
I'm like, there's no way.
But, you know, he also said it sounded like it was a connection problem, which, you know, again, I'm not, it's not right, but
right.
But that helps to understand a little bit more that that's where the software glitch might have happened is,
wow,
you know, a connection problem, which is the hugest downfall of online poker, I think.
Yeah. Well, we've given them enough airtime today, so
yes,
let's move on.
Moving on.
Mine is why Vegas needs a closing time in its card rooms, Conky. This goes to Scotty Wynn. You know,
man.
He may not have won the 50K horse at the World Series if he had sobered up, but he would have held on to his self-respect. he lost a lot of fans and a lot of friends with that drunken performance on the way to that bracelet. You know, and kudos to ESPN for not sugarcoating it. Some people say that they could have made him look even worse if they wanted to. So, I mean, they did a really good job, you know, doing that. But
I mean, that's great TV for them.
Yeah,
so.
I agree. But, you know, even...
It's not like they were giving him the beer.
Even Norman Chad, though, I mean, you know, he could have... You know, he was pretty harsh on Scotty, which he needed to be. But, you know, he's in the poker industry, and to know that he's probably not going to get that interview again for a while, maybe. I don't know. Maybe Scotty will look to, do some repair there. But... I just couldn't believe what he did. You know, we all know that he gets a little irate and he gets drunk once in a while, but oh, man, he had to know that it was the biggest event in the world and he was going to be on TV and that was all going to be there, and I mean, they really need to cut him off.
Yeah, well, you know, again, there's no such thing as bad publicity, so it'll be interesting to see. No, I'm serious. I mean, people are talking about him, too. I mean...
Maybe he doesn't need publicity.
Well, every poker player needs publicity. No one.
He doesn't need that kind.
You know, until you're Oprah. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but poker got a black eye from that, and that's just not right.
Yeah, you know, no, I'm not going to deny that, but, you know.
Okay.
There's probably some people out there that made him their patron saint now for winning a tournament drunk.
Okay, well, let's not contribute any more to his popularity because of that. Let's find better ways to talk about Scotty Wynn later on.
All right, here's my next one. The not enough black in our wardrobe to mourn a loss this big memorial conky goes to the sad passing of Chip Reese.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chris, I wrote here, is it possible to have a bigger shock / loss in the poker world this year? And I'm not going to backpedal on this. I don't think there is. I mean, a bigger shock, maybe somebody like a Phil Ivey or somebody that was young and vivacious.
Right.
Bigger loss. Certainly, you know, Doyle Brunson is the face of poker, but, you know, he's also up there in years.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you told me that he died, I would be very, very
sad, shocked.
But not
yeah.
shocked.
Right.
But, you know, Chip had that great combination of being just a longtime veteran player, an amazing player, probably the best player out there. pick sure. through all the different
of
games.
All the games, absolutely.
And it certainly was well before his time to go.
It's weird. Every once in a while, I'll read a story, whether it's in the magazines or on the forums or whatever, and someone will mention his name, and I think, oh my God, I still forget that he's passed.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when you know it's a shock, when you still, a year later, can't realize that he's gone. Sometimes you see the name and you just think, oh yeah, Chip Reese, he's, and then you're like, oh man,
yeah,
he's,
I know,
gone.
I do that same thing too. It's just, it's incredibly sad, and not that you can ever get over it, but you know, it's tough to talk about.
Yeah,
so
it really is. So let's move on. My next one is, hey Kettle, you're black, Conky. And this one goes to Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear. You know, by asking a court to seize, what was it, like 141 gambling-related sites, the domain names for them, that's a little wacky. But when you do it because you don't want to lose the money that's made from your own gambling facilities, I mean, he just enters the Hypocrite Hall of Fame right there, man. You know, I mean, that is just ridiculous.
And if I know there's one thing that pushes my partner's buttons, it's these hypocritical type folks, because we're dealing with those all over the state of Florida as well, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're right. It's just, you know, I don't agree with people that are upset and fight gambling based on moral beliefs or things like that. But I can understand it. It's the folks that are fine with gambling as long as it benefits them, and they want to ban all the other gambling. That's just, oh my God, so wrong. On so many levels.
That's like antitrust almost, you know. You gotta allow, you know, equal opportunity. It's just ridiculous. And to have a governor come up and say that, oh my God. I feel so bad for the people in Kentucky. I really do. I'm so sad for them that they have to deal with something like this. And it definitely has hurt. I mean, we know during our own dealings with a lot of these online sites, talking to them, and they're, well, we're thinking about advertising, but we're waiting until we find out what's going on in Kentucky.
Yeah,
I'm like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're not in Kentucky anyway, but you can see how it just makes people think, because they just, as soon as they hear court, lawyer, suit, they freak out. Yeah. You know, they freak out.
Well, and for good reason, too.
No, it's, absolutely.
Expensive. Absolutely.
But it's ridiculous.
Very effective.
It's ridiculous that they have to do stuff like resort to something like this. And they already, they have like the largest horse racing gambling on the planet. There are all these carve outs for all their, you know, I'm sure they got all these lobbyists and, you know, for horse racing, but God, you have poker and that's it. Let's call in the dogs. It's ridiculous.
All right, Chris, this is an annual award for me.
Yes, it is.
And I've named it, so it sounds like an annual award. It's the Jeffrey Madsen Traveling Conky for Poker Player of the Year goes to Jacob Fernandez.
Yay, Jacob. Ah, guy from Florida, too. Awesome.
Exactly. Now, I think Jeff Madsen was a winner last year, so next year it'll be the Jacob Fernandez Traveling Conky for Poker Player of the Year. And maybe he'll keep it. We'll see.
Hey, you never know.
But anyhow, so Mr. Fernandez may not have won a World Series bracelet this year, Chris, and he may not have won the official Player of the Year award at the WSOP, but there's no denying this Spanish-speaking Floridian was the toughest competitor on felt this year.
Absolutely.
Three final tables, Chris. Seven caches, $660,000 in prize money, and that was just at the WSOP.
Yep.
He did well everywhere else he played this year, too.
Yeah, he did well in other Vegas venues as well. He was a great, great guy. I mean, I didn't actually talk to him for the story. I had to send him questions for his translator and stuff, but he was very honest, very candid, and he's good friends with a couple of our local players here as well, and I'm really happy for him, and I hope that he continues that success and just, you know, comes to the forefront, because you know, he did well at the World Poker Tour, made the final table, and he still actually said that's his finest moment, which is kind of weird. But I'm glad for him, and it would be great to see him, you know, move into the upper echelon of the poker names and so people know who he is.
Well, it really is. This is the best thing about poker. When you tell people that don't really understand why we like poker so much, this is what people say. I mean, there are a lot of celebrities in poker that people like to watch, but it's the fact that it's an everyman's game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know, Fernandez has had great success before this year, but he didn't really burst onto the scene. And it just, you know, proves that anybody can, who knows who's going to be our poker player of the year next year.
Yeah.
Could be somebody we've never heard of yet.
Yeah, and it probably will be, because we never really heard of Jacob either. We saw him once on TV, but we didn't recognize who he was or what he was about to be. So that's the beauty thing about this game, too, is that unknowns can come to the forefront and win the Conky. Okay, my next one is my last one.
Yeah, I like this one.
It's the Glengarry Glen Ross Brass Balls Award, and it goes to us. I'm giving us a Conky
wow.
this year for going out on our own, for leaving a very safe, secure life, and dealing with the perils of starting a fledgling magazine and trying to keep the Antiup Nation interested in our show and in our magazine and just taking the chance in an economy that is just absolutely downright brutal right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, at least the one thing we got going for us is that the economy is just humming and people are just got money to spend. So, I mean, without that, yeah, who knows where we'd be.
We're really smart. We're bright, you know. But we're giving it a go, and no matter how it turns out, I think that, you know, we followed our dream, and we're happy that we tried, and, you know, we'll see how it goes. But right now, we got brass balls, buddy.
That's right. That's right.
We're going to put that conky right up on the mantle.
That's going to be a great source of conversation. So I get the final one.
Yeah, you get the final
one. I'm going to have a little fun with this
one. Yeah, I'm sure you are.
All right, here we go. The George Costanza Lifetime Achievement Conky in the Field of Tipping goes to... Chris Costanza,
Yay, I got my own conky.
You got another one. You can put it next to the balls.
Oh, my God.
All right, just won the memory of Chris stiffing that grieving, poor grieving waitress at Foxwoods. It started the fade from the nation's collective memory. What does Chris do again? He strikes again by having nothing but lint in his wallet. You at least have lint in your wallet, right?
I think I know it's in my pocket.
Oh, okay. All right. At least he had lint in his wallet while representing the Antiup Nation. And a free roll at Tampa Bay Downs earlier this year. Did not have money for the dealer toke. No dealer toke for you!
I did not know there was going to be a dealer toke, or I would have brought money. And I'm not even going to, you know, I'm not even going to dignify this response. Well, no, no.
Okay.
You know what? I'm adding a conky.
Oh.
The stab you in the back conky goes to Scott Long, for who said he make a poker resolution that he would never bring up the tipping problem again, and yet he continues to do it. So I'm going to add one extra conky there, get the last word in. Thanks for stabbing me in the back. I'm taking your brass balls away from you.
Wow. Wow. There was a small print that I had my lawyer insert in that New Year's resolution that said if you decide to
stiff a dealer,
somebody else, that I could rescind that resolution. Exactly.
That's bull.
It was small print. You know, people don't normally
bull.
Read it. But
all right. Well, I'm glad we had the conkies, and I think we're going to talk about predictions next week. So stay tuned for that. But right now, let's move on to our hand of the week.
It's not just a dealer button. It's more than a tournament timer. It's Pro Dealer Button, and it's a synchronized poker game management system. The buttons talk to each other, so every table in your home game is on the same page at all times. Pre-order yours today at ProDealerButtons.com. Use the code ANTIUP05 and save 5% on your order.
Did you miss a link on your favorite poker podcast? Or want a preview of the upcoming ANTIUP magazine? Go to ANTIUPmagazine.com and subscribe to ANTIUP's e-newsletter for free. Just click on the subscribe button, and while you're there, subscribe to ANTIUP magazine. Just $25 gets you 12 issues of your favorite poker magazine delivered straight to your door. Subscribe today and win tomorrow.
Dzień dobry, nazywam się Sabina Gadecki i ty słuchasz do ANTIUP.
Chris, once again, today's Hand of the Week brought to you by the good folks at GreatPokerHands.com and their great Texas Hold'em strategy cards. Correct a single biggest mistake made by Texas Hold'em players. Order today at GreatPokerHands.com. Use that code ANTICHRIS for 20% off your post-Christmas order.
Now, wait a minute. Is the code ANTI or ANTICHRIS?
That'd be interesting.
The code is ANTI.
ANTI. A-N-T-E. And, of course, everybody in the... sound of our voice, email your hand of the week to podcast@antiupmagazine.com, and you too
will have a chance.
Could be skewered on our weekly hand of the week.
I don't skewer anyone.
Well, today's hand of the week, our good friend Simon from Canmore, Alberta, Canada.
Yeah.
Hope he doesn't use French at the table there because that'd be bad. but he is interested in hearing us skewer him this week.
Cool.
So do not let him down.
Okay.
All right.
Well, your first problem is you live in Canada.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Hey, Blossman wants it to be edgy, so.
That's right. You know, we're edging it up.
I'm just kidding, though. I don't mean that.
Yeah, okay.
Canada's beautiful. And they have universal health care.
Exactly.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so he's playing in a $2, $5 no-limit hold'em cash game, Chris.
My favorite game.
At the beautiful Venetian Poker Room in Las Vegas.
Oh, when I'm playing no-limit hold'em is my favorite, I mean.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so he's in Vegas. So he's not in Canada. He's
gone down to the land of English only.
Okay.
And... a city full of a bunch of people from different countries. All right, so he's sitting in this $2, $5 no-limit hold'em cash game at the Venetian Poker Room. He is in fifth position with 500 in checks behind.
Cool.
The villain in this hand is in fourth position with 800 in chips.
Okay, so we basically probably just joined the table.
Our hero here has Jack-9 offsuit.
which, by the way, is the favorite hand of former world champion boxer Winky Wright.
Oh, excellent. A little trivia today.
A little trivia there for you.
It is not the favorite hand of our Great Poker Hand Strategy Cards. It is the 75th best hand.
Yeah, it's not a good hand.
In a nine-player game.
It's a pet hand, as they say.
Ooh, it's a pet hand. I like
that.
It's
not a good hand. It's a hand that if you like it for a particular reason, that's one thing, but it's not a good hand.
All right. Now, our hero goes on to say that he knows one of us will be saying that we shouldn't be playing Jack-9 offsuit from mid-position, but this is not a tournament. He's trying to get in cheaply with connectors. In ring games, that's the way he plays.
Well, he's wrong, because we not one of us, but both of us would say you shouldn't play this hand in middle position in a 2-5 no-limit hold'em game. But maybe you could. Maybe you know your table well enough already, but I don't think he does.
But he's limping, so, you know, it mitigates the
I guess
the mistake here.
I guess. I don't feel like throwing in a $5 chip with all those people behind me to act, and I have Jack-9.
Yes.
Off.
All right. But he knows what he's doing.
Okay.
And he says he's established the villain in his hand, that the villain was no tourist, Chris.
Yep.
And was loose aggressive-ish.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
All right, so preflop, the villain calls, our hero calls, as we said he would do. The small blind calls, the big blind checks, four players go into the flop, 20 clams in the pot.
All right, so $20 pre-rake.
All right, we have Jack-9 off, the flop comes 9-9-3-2 spades.
All right.
See, this is why you play Jack-9 off, Chris. I keep telling you.
Yes, but even
now...
Because
you always get a flop like this.
Even now, you still don't know if someone has Ace-9, 9-10. They could have 9-3 in the blinds. They could have pocket threes. You really don't know where you stand with this hand, even though you have three nines. You could easily be beat, or the two spades could get there. So, better hope you fill up.
Well, thanks for just, ruining our sunshine there.
He wanted to be skewered.
Flop trips, and you're acting like, we just contracted a disease or something.
I don't want to lose my bankroll on three nines with a jack. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. All right, so the villain is...
First act.
The blinds must check, because the villain is the first person to put a bet in here. And he puts in $15 into this $20 pre-rake pot.
At this point...
And we are next to act.
We are next to act. And I think that I really want to know where I stand in this hand.
You have to know where you stand, right? Because there's two spades out there.
There's two spades.
And like you said, you're...
blinds behind you now.
Right, exactly.
So I'm gonna raise it up. If you put 15 out there, I'm going to make it 35 to go.
35 to go. So another $20 on top.
Yeah, 20. Well, let's see. If you make 15, it's 35
in the
pot.
You want to put a little more in there, don't you?
Yeah, I'll probably bet like 40 or 45 here now.
Excellent. Our hero bet 45.
Okay.
I like that bet.
I would do that too.
Exactly.
I would do that. I mean, I wouldn't shove because I could be beat, way too deep for that. So I would bet about what's in the pot, maybe a little more, just because I want to discourage the other two and make it a little more expensive for this guy to just call with his spade draw.
Exactly. This is a perilous hand because we got four players in.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's lots of hands that have us beat here and lots of hands that could beat us.
All right. So he raised to 45, you said?
Raised to 45.
What happens?
And the blinds get out of the way.
Good.
And the villain calls.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
It was only another $30.
So, so now if we start to put people on the range of hands, could he have limped with a suited ace of spades? Sure. That sounds likely. Could he have a nine and he's slow playing it? Sure, that sounds likely. Would he have limped with 9-10? Maybe. Would he have limped with queen 9? Maybe. Would he have limped with ace 9? Yeah, could have. So you got to put him on a range of hands. Queen 9 doesn't seem likely. King 9 doesn't seem likely. Pocket 3s could be a hand that he limped with. So... I'd be a little cautious here, but if a non-spade comes, I'm going to want to fire at this again to see what happens.
Now, also, he's probably taking the poor position here, and he could turn it around, too, by calling here. Because there's some scare cards that could come, and he could bet out on the turn. So, while you put him on a range of hands like you should, this is a really crafty player, and he says he's no tourist and loose aggressive.
Right.
He could represent a lot of different hands on this turn with nothing.
Sure, but again, he bet out into this pot and then called. A lot of people try to steal a pot when it's paired, when it flops. Mm-hmm. They try to steal it because everyone gets afraid that you have the trips. And if someone raised him, then they're telling him you have the trips. So now this guy calls. He's got to be calling with something. I don't think he's trying to steal. Okay. He could be. I don't know this person. Like you said, I haven't played with him. But if he's loose aggressive, yeah, he could be trying to steal it. So that's why if anything raggedy comes, I'm definitely putting a pretty healthy bet out there on the turn. And if it comes dangerous, I'm still sticking around because I still have outs to make the best boat. And my 3-9 still could be good. He could just have an overpair. He could have limped with 10s or something, hoping to re-raise and didn't get their opportunity. Who knows?
Yeah.
He's loose, aggressive, crazy. So.
Right.
So what's the turn?
All right. The turn is the 8 of clubs. That's an 8, not an ace.
Yeah, 8 of clubs.
8 of clubs.
Okay.
And the villain checks to us.
Yeah, I got to bet. I mean, if I put 40 out there and he called, that's 80. It's 100 in a pot. I got to bet like 70, 75 here. I'm thinking at least $75 here because that's three quarters of the pot. And I really want to know where I stand. If he comes over the top of me now, then I think I can get away from it if he shoves or something gross.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got, you know, but 700 behind or so.
I can't check here. Obviously, there's way too dangerous now. Now, hands like Jack 10 get there, can get there with the next card.
Yeah, it's true. Straight draws.
So Jack 10 of spades, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say Jack 10 of spades are probably the only one possible.
Problem. Yeah. So I'm betting at least a healthy $70, $75 here, I think, to see what happens.
Now, our hero is thinking here is that he's wondering what the villain called his raise with and then checked the turn with.
Yeah, exactly.
So he thought it was unlikely he had a better nine. He might be on a flush draw, but for some reason he discounted that.
It does feel like a draw to a flush to me by the check because... You know, you bet
keep
out
the pot small. And
yeah,
it,
people always bet out with a lot of people. You know, a lot of people bet out with flush draws, and then if they get raised and they call, that means they're drawing. Usually, I mean, it could be trapping you with ace nine or 8-9. You know, who knows? 8-9 could be a good hand too. You could have 8-9 here. Then the check means that he knows he's got the hand locked up, so he wants to see if you're going to bet again. So I'd be wary of 8-9, but it still feels like a spade flush.
Okay.
Draw.
And he says he thought he also could be on overcards or a middle pair. I think that's a little. Less likely myself.
Yeah, I don't think overcards are
but possible.
Unless they're spaded, you know.
And he says if he was on a flush draw, perhaps turned a straight draw, he was convinced that the villain would have bet. So our hero checks here.
Yeah, that's a bad move. I mean, I think that's a bad move. You got to know where this guy is now. You never let him see the turn for free or, you know, go beyond the turn for free. Don't let him see the river for free. You have to bet here.
Yeah, I guess even as passive as I play, I have to bet here because there's just so many cards that could come on the river that, one, would beat us, and two, would allow our opponent to bet and make us feel like we got beat.
Yeah.
And I'd much rather put some money in and have him make a move on me now and decide to get away from it waiting.
Yeah, I can't check here. I mean, you got three nines. I mean, it's not the greatest hand. It's not the nuts. But three nines, for him to have a better hand, he has to have pocket threes, pocket eights, or a better nine than you. And like I said, is he going to really limp a queen nine and king nine? No. So it'd have to be ace nine or 8-9. So, I mean, there's not that many hands that beat you, you know, 9-3 and 9-8 too. 9-3 he's not going to limp with. So you got to put some money out there, Scott, find out what he's got, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So we didn't do that, but let's see what the river brings.
The river is the ace of spades. Flush gets there.
Okay. So that eliminates, you know, ace nine from his hand. Or at least the ace of spades, nine of spades, you know, something like that, or ace of spades, something. Of spades.
Well, it definitely eliminates ace of spades being in his hand.
Yeah.
You know, unless we're playing in the Wild West.
I'm just saying, so those hands are out of the equation, so it's not the nut flush draw that he's playing for. So it's pretty scary. He could have pocket aces and hope that someone had raised behind him, but
yeah,
God,
wow.
That's weird.
That would be really ballsy there.
That would be brutal.
All right, so the villain checks.
Well, you know what? If you checked on the last street, why bet now? You're only going to get raised by someone who's crazy, so might as well just take the pot down and be happy with it. I mean, I guess you could put a value bet out there, but if he raises you, then what do? You know, the spades are there.
True.
So,
all right, well, our hero is thinking that the villain would have put a value bet out there if he had made a flush,
right?
Given that the hero had checked behind on the turn, and that he may have given up on the hand, so he's going to bet $40 here.
Yeah, it's kind of a weak bet. If somebody comes over the top now, what do? You know, you just gave up $40 for no reason. I would rather just show it down, I think, at this point with all the dangerous cards out there now.
Yeah.
I would just show it down.
Well, here's the thing is we really don't know. Our villains played this.
He played it like a flush
probably
draw.
Probably pretty well because we haven't got any information out of him that I think that we can really bank
on.
Kept
the pot small if that was his intention.
Exactly. So, you know, I would check here again myself just because I really am. You know, we tried to get some information.
We
should have tried to get more on the turn.
We didn't. And the other thing, too, Scott, is you and I were thinking that it's a flush draw. So if a flush draw gets there, and that's what we put the guy on, and he checks, you have to say, okay, you know what, I'm just happy to win the $100 that's out there right now or whatever. So I this is why I need to put a bet on the turn to better define his hand.
Right. So we bet $40, and we get raised to $200. Is exactly what you were afraid of.
Yep, because now he could be stealing, thinking that you're weak, and that's why you only bet $40.
Yeah.
You know, now what do? And I don't want to be put in this position.
And $160, wow. That's a lot to put in on not knowing what you got.
Yeah, I mean, you basically put 300 of your 500 roll on this hand, and you didn't get any information from the guy. So a check raise on the end like that, that's pretty sneaky. But you know what, though? If he's got a flush, I don't think he would have done that. So I might have to call here, believe it or not.
Interesting. All right.
I might have to, just because the way it's played out, what hand could he have that he wouldn't have wanted to bet earlier. And also, if you check the turn, then he's going to be afraid of losing a bet on the river by mm-hmm. checking again to you because you already checked. So right. you showed that right. you were afraid. So now when you put out 40, it's fishy. It's a weak bet until he's trying to steal it, it seems like. And if it seems like he's loose aggressive and he's not a tourist, mm-hmm. this is the type of move that a real player would make. So, you know what? I feel like I have to call here. All I really right. do. I feel like I have to call. I it could be a bad call, and I'm going to look foolish, but...
it wouldn't be the first time.
It wouldn't be the first time, so what the hell? Right? I've been there, done that, so let's do it again. But, no, I feel like he's trying to steal this one because the check is doesn't add up to me. Why would he check again when he knew that we checked if he had a monster hand? Anyway, what happens?
All I'm dying right, so our hero now is questioning whether he had the flush. Says the raise seemed big enough to try to be getting him off his hand, which is what you said.
Yeah.
I just couldn't put him on the flush and thought he was trying to get me to fold to the danger of the nut flush. So we call.
Oh, we did call.
We
that,
did.
That's not good for me. Because if he called and sent a hand in, then obviously the guy had a flush or a boat or a better nine.
Our villain here had 9-8.
9-8. See, yeah, I said 9-8 earlier that he could have 9-8. Oh, man. Yeah, see, that's tough. I can't believe that he checked there. That's really amazing that he checked there, especially because a flush draw got there. So the other guy, you know, the villain here, you would think, okay, hoping this guy has a nine or a flush.
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, again, I haven't gone back and thought this through from the villain's point of view, though, but for him to bet on the river would almost be announcing, hey, I finally got there.
I agree with that.
I think you probably have a better shot of getting money by checking and hoping this guy continues to bet or exactly what happened here.
I agree with that, except that, you know, the way he played it made it seem like he had a flush draw, and so he should have fired out hoping that this guy had a third nine, which he knew he had a nine by the way he played it.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't know. Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you do check to it. But I just think that he's missing an opportunity to get a bet there because obviously – our player slowed down on the turn, and you're checking a boat to this guy is ballsy, and then check raising him on top of it. That was, you know, that was a well executed plan that I didn't think would have worked with me. I would have checked it down.
Yeah, you know, and I like when our listeners send in hands, and I have this kind of post log where they can be honest about it. He says that his read was right and horribly wrong, and he was terribly outplayed here.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably would have called, too. I mean, just because of the way it came down. But then again, I wouldn't have been in that situation. One, I would have bet on the turn, and if he had called me on the turn, then I would have known he had a nine like me. And on the river, when he checked, I would have just checked it. I would have known then on the turn, and I would have saved myself a bunch of money because I probably would have. If the guy raises me on the turn, then I know my nine is probably beat on the turn. Or it would have been less than $200 at least. You know, I would have saved money in this hand, I think, if I had played it the way I said to play it.
Yep.
What do you think?
No, I think you're right. Okay. Simon here says that apart from betting the turn and getting called, how else could he have played this hand?
Yeah, I mean, like I said,
that was probably the
even on
mistake.
The river, I would have checked behind. That's how I would have played it better. I would have checked behind and saved $200.
Yeah,
and saw that I had lost. What was
wow.
that?
Things are falling out of the sky here. I guess they wanted to get us out of the studio.
All right, well, I guess we better go then. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we'll see you at the tables. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.